come back inside. Give your head a shake, it's fine. Make no mistake about it, I was never your friend. I had something you needed. Attention is a say, oh, 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 how rare it is to find someone who doesn't mind living in betweens under.
You are listening to CITR 101.9 broadcasting the odd. From Vancouver, British Columbia.
Take your protein pills and put your helmet on.
Sorry, I'm not.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I have no idea what that means. Somebody just asked me to say this.
I am a Sirius Rhythm Machine. Now try pleasure. www.citr.ca. You win. CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
And stayed over the weekend, real niggas know. Real bitches quote. Got no time to complain. I'm just trying to maintain. Ain't really trying to explain. All my streaming ain't made, my nigga. Little did you know. But all my real niggas know. Yeah, my real niggas know. When they see me, they lie. They be like, Mick, you top five. I be like, nigga, I know. I like to keep it a buck. I used to keep it like 80. I hope you feeling my growth. Still, niggas sleep on the floor. Niggas sleep on the floor and don't smell the feet in their face. One by the head and the toe. Sweat for the bread with no yeast. I had the croissants and sweet. See niggas beg for the dough. Seen mamas need the whole week. Seen butter melt on a biscuit as father's hair for the dough. I got the bread when it loaf. Had run-ins with some prosciutto. I gave them mirrors and smoke. And now I'm here with my toast. Finna bust at the sky and make sure they hear if they woke. I know the real ones a quote. I know my real niggas know. Niggas sleep on the floor. Niggas sleep on the floor. Like, can I just crash at your crib for a few? Got nowhere to go.
Thank you.
Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Listen, we do this every week, every week. Thank you all for just tuning in. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish Nations territory here live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland, deep, deep in the woods. And we got a lot going on. Listen, nothing is as it seems, it feels like. But we're here. You're here with me. I'm here with you. Listen, we do this every Tuesday. It's supposed to be a nice, relaxing time. You know, whether you're driving in your car, you're getting off of work, maybe you're going to work. Maybe you're just at home, sitting on your couch, doing a little bit of work, watching some TV. Maybe you turn the TV down just to tune in to me. I appreciate that. Listen, and if you'd like to be a part of the show, I can't guarantee you that I'm going to put you on air just because you might say something crazy. But also, what is it? What is the world if we can't say just a little bit of crazy things? You know, I feel like if you are right now existing in 2025, wherever at on this big ass rock, and you're not feeling just a little bit crazy, I can promise you that you are in fact the crazy one, because nothing is as it seems, and nothing feels like it's going. I would say nothing's going to plan, but it feels like everything's going to plan, and we're just not a part of it. But there's some power in that, because you got to understand that we all, anyways, I will get into that. We got a lot to talk about today. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. I have missed quite a few shows. I think I missed two shows due to just life. Had an improv show last week and the week before that. Wasn't feeling well. So, and listen, as a community radio station here at UBC, it's very important that not only do we take care of each other, you know, by sharing a little bit of ourselves every week or every time you come to the radio, but also you share yourselves with actual people in here. And so when you're sick, make sure you are not coming into contact with people, making sure people get sick. Because while we, you know, are 5 years removed from a pandemic, like the lockdown of the pandemic, people are still getting sick. People are still having long COVID, long issues. And we need to make sure that we're taking care of each other, because if your solidarity doesn't include disabled people, you know, doesn't include all types of people, everybody, then what is it really, you know? So you got to do the little bit of that you can. Yeah, it feels, I don't know, it feels a little shaky. My week has been pretty good, but it has been, I would say I've had a electrifying week when it comes to work. It's also very hot in the studio, so if I start to get a little bit animated, I already came into the studio a little bit animated, but if I continue to go, you know, just call in and tell me to slow down. But you know, here it's been nice because the rain is back. Like I was worried a little bit that the rain was never going to come back, because it's the rainy season and we need it. I felt like this fall was a little dry. This winter has been a little bit dry. This even has been a little bit dry, even though it was raining like shit this morning. But that doesn't make me feel good, because I know that a dry winter means a hot, fiery summer, and that's not something that I am interested in. I would like to have the summer where it's nice to see the sun, you know, not clouded behind a cloud of smoke. Anyways, I forgot even to go into the intro, because I'm just kind of ready to go. Like if you listen to the show before, you know what we do here. We talk about what's going on here in the Lower Mainland, what's going on here in Vancouver specifically, what's going on here in North America, the world, the universe, and it's interesting. Like as the world continues to get, it feels as if we are continuing to expand However, at the same time, it's really, I see this in myself as becoming more, I won't say isolationist, but really more focus on, okay, what am I doing here? And, you know, what can I organize here? What can I help here? Because I got a lot of grievances that are going on right now. And a lot of them are just dealing with the stuff that's going on right here. And I think that we should all kind of think about, like, kind of what takes the most time in our minds and refocus that into making sure that it aligns with also with our agency. Like, what can we control? What can we do? And meandering here. But one of the things that you can do, especially before we go into the break, is you can think about what you can do, and also you can donate to the fund drive. So listen, like I was saying, I missed a few shows, and one of the shows I missed was the fund drive. The fund drive is when we do 24 hours of radio here to raise money for CITR so that CITR can continue to put on the programming, continue to give people the experience of running a radio station, also hire people to run the radio station because it takes a lot of work, buy better antennas so we can get our voice out to more people, do camps like DJ camps and documentary camps, audio documentary camps and things that help all types of people come here and get their voices heard. It could help you. Maybe if you have something to talk about, you can come and bring your voice to the radio. Because listen, like the thing is, as you read and you consume media and you see everything that's going on, you cannot sit back and just believe and hope that it is going to get better. Because like I said at the beginning, there's a plan. And if you are not, if you don't feel like there's a plan, you just feel like this is kind of the inertia of the world. I've been there before, but also like every little bit helps. And so if you want to contribute your voice, amazing. If you can't contribute your voice and you want to contribute money, even better. You know, so you can go on to CITR.ca and then you can click the bottom link and donate. You can donate under your name. You can donate under my name. You can donate under my show, whatever. Just go check it out. When we come back, this is the last show for Black History Month, but you know, here Black History is more than a month. So I'm going to tell you about some of the things I'm going to show you in the next segment and also what's going to be coming next week, because I am really excited about what I can share with you when we get back.
Pizza free. Umojer hadi London nukwa galithol. Sina wacha evidence ujwe maliniko. Kudunga jinika malizia na mandege. Kama sidika mindo maliza ganyege. Wezi saidika chalia kwa na nyonga day. Yeah, form zetu wagage. Tingalingaling, school bell ring. Nyege o'clock ni time ya wazing. Tingalingaling, school bell ring. Nyege o'clock ni time ya wazing. Tingalingaling, school bell ring. Nyege o'clock, ni time ya wazing. Tingalingaling, school bell ring. Nyege o'clock, ni time ya wazing. Chude, genje. Chude, chude genje. 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 Machali leo hawajalala. Mamanzi leo hawajalala lala. Niko zona kanika na staga. Bad boy ataki rona takahaga.
unajua jiwe iko night shift na geuka night na sneaky dunga night dress 1 minute man anasikizia niceness alidhani tu kwa mic ndio atasikia tightness whether sio mbaya kabadilishe outfit kimupenda akili na pesa ficha biceps dunga suti bonga eloquent kaka smell ndio tuandamane twende nikupunguze dress spell usiku back left back shots kwa back seat ndio vibe boy plumber na nibamba vile analipa na escape matrix na substance kwa hype kau shiki west mini kiwine una waste time walai chude genje chude chude genje 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 tulala mainika tulala ni mdogolo peleke tu mdogolo 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 chude genje chude chude genje.
So we're back here on Off the Beam Path. Listen, like I said, you can call in. Don't call in. Listen, you can just enjoy. So for our next segment, listen, we, like I, for me, it's very interesting being in Canada for Black History Month for me. And one of the things that I appreciate about being here is often learning a lot about kind of what the Black history is here in Vancouver specifically, but also Canada more generally. And so I do that by reading, you know, going to look for the information. I don't find that it's too hard to find. And like I probably talked about this on a show in the past, but there's a book called Go Do Some Great Thing. And it kind of outlines pioneers here in BC. And I would 100% recommend the book, because you will be surprised on the type of on the history. I'm excited to have next week I'm gonna have an interview on Off the Beam Path. I'm gonna have Ruby Smith Diaz on here talking about her book Searching for Seraphim. And it's, I know we've talked about this a few times on Black History Month, but it's about the real story of Joe Forte. And even many people in Vancouver just know Joe Forte, you know, from the namesake, from the restaurant, but also that he was a lifeguard from Trinidad who found his way to BC. And, well, he wasn't a lifeguard who found his way to BC. He was here and then became kind of like the unofficial lifeguard for English Bay. And, you know, was like a figure here in BC, but very little is known beyond that by the average citizen. And so I'm going to have Ruby to come on here and talk about her book and talk about the legacy of Joe Forte and what we have missed. And I find that there is quite a few figures that just like are generally missed. One of the kind of exercises over February that I've done is revisit Eyes on the Prize. And so if you don't know Eyes on the Prizes, you should go check it out. It was a documentary done about the civil rights era. And it's just one of those things where I feel like it's one of those things. I don't really know what other cultures have like this, but it's like been in every house that I've feel like I grew up in. Eyes on the Prize was in the house as a VHS box set. And it was just something that you just watched and you just knew and you just kind of learned. And it was really interesting to go back and revisit one of those things that we kind of makes me think about. I was talking with my family because we talk about, you know, Black History Month every day during February, and just talking about how just, we talk about America descending into fascism. We talk about, you know, Canada or wherever you're at descending into fascism, when these places have always been like that. Like, it's like they have always been fascist to people. Like, I would be hard pressed if you go to talk to any people who are who are steeped in the history of First Nations are First Nations people who don't know history. You just kind of talk to people who have experienced it, and they'll tell you that these places have always been fascist. And so I think that's one of those reminders, is that like it's not that we are deeply declining into fascism, but like fascism is rearing its head once again, and it's important that we remember that, because I think that it changes the approach to what you look at it. And one of the people that I feel for me really points this out so eloquently and clearly is the late Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture, as people refer to him later in his life. And for me, he's one of the most remarkable figures in the civil rights history. And so I'm going to play a short video of his. But before I play a video of his, like, a lot of people have never heard of Kwame Ture before or Stokely Carmichael. And I think that it's important that we do not forget people and forget the things that they've done. So, like, if you watch Eyes on the Prize, you won't see him very much. So, like, SNCC is the Student Nonviolent Committee that he's one of the founding members of. But before that, he's just one of the pivotal figures in not just Black liberation, but just in global idealism, who is able to speak so clearly and for so long. He's a just kind of an orator, an activist. He's just kind of laid the groundwork for a lot of the civil rights era, but also what that looked like as, like, he was one of the longest living activists that kind of just made it. Because if you listen and you learn about a lot of the civil rights activists, they were just murdered. And I would say just murdered. They were murdered. And I think that it's important to understand that Kwame Ture's impact really extended quite far beyond American borders. It's just like dedicating himself to Pan-Africanism, to liberation, to the constant struggle and the freedom of people all over the world. And I think that it's important. I just think it's incredibly important that we kind of remember that there have been and will be people who continue to fight to push society forward, and there will be people who continue to fight to bring us right back. And you have to stand pat to make sure that you are, are you the helping or are you hurting? So I want to play this clip from Kwame Ture on Zionism and imperialism. You can find it on YouTube, but you can find a lot of his other speeches on YouTube. And I think that it's important that before you listen to the words, I think you can kind of reflect on how clear he speaks, but also two, just make sure that we are thinking about, kind of the positive changes that we want to make. So gotta unmute. I mean, sometimes technical difficulties, listen, sometimes they don't want you to be great, but we got it.
That great man, V.I. Lenin, at the turn of the century, wrote a book entitled Imperialism, the Highest Stage of Capitalism.
Is it? Imperialism, the Highest Stage of Capitalism,
yes. If one would read this little pamphlet, one would see here that Mr. Lenin had precisely pointed out that all of the world had already been conquered and divided by colonial powers. There was no else in the world left to be conquered or divided by colonial powers. This is the time when Zionism comes to rise. Zionism comes to look for a state when everywhere else in the world is already dominated. Thus, in order for Mr. Herzl to get a country for Zionists, what he did was to attach himself to imperialism, British imperialism in this case. Quite specifically. Of course, as an African who suffered under the heels of British imperialism, I can have no love for it, and certainly I cannot love anyone who attaches themselves to it and attaches themselves to it for the foundation of a state and then call this a liberation movement. Liberation movements fight against imperialism, not with it.
Glad to hear.
The legal foundation of the State of Israel is what is known as the Balfour Declaration. This declaration was issued in 1917. A man in the government of Britain named Balfour wrote a paper and promised the Jews a national home. The national home he promised them was an area which Britain was colonizing, Palestine. Palestine didn't belong to the British. Just like Ireland doesn't belong to the British, even though they have troops there. But here, these British imperialists signed a note and gave it to the Jews and they accepted it. Where is the morality for this? If you say that Israel belongs to you, then you don't go to a thief to get Israel, you go and take it. Once you go to an immoral being such as British imperialism, and this is the basis for you getting the land, then clearly here those who are truly liberation fighters must question this. The basis, we say, is the Balfour Declaration, and Zionists know it. The Zionism is certainly not a liberation movement, because it never fought against any imperialism. As a matter of fact, today, Zionism is the baby, child, and infant protector of imperialism in the Middle East. It carries out the interests of American imperialism. As a matter of fact, a Zionism and American imperialism is like this. If our tax dollars would stop giving money to Israel, the state would sink tomorrow. And certainly no one can deny that American imperialism is the leading imperialist nation in the world. So we cannot see how a liberation movement is so tied, string and ham to American imperialism. They work hand in hand with American imperialism. Thus they can hardly be a liberation movement. In addition to this, Zionism has nothing to do with anything religion, nothing. All religions are concerned with human beings after they die. That's what religions are for. Islam will tell you what happens to you when you die. As a matter of fact, this which forces you to live a good life so that after death you'll be able to enjoy the rewards of heaven. The same is true for Judaism. But Zionism says nothing about the individual after they're dead. They don't give a damn about you. The Zionism has nothing to do with religion at all. And one should not make the confusion here. The Palestinian state belongs to the Palestinian people. This is a fact.
Your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm KRS and I'm on the mic and premieres on the breaks. I won a Grammy, I won't win a Tony, but I'm not the only MC keeping it real. When I grab the mic and smash rap, my girls go ill. Check the time as I rhyme, it's 1995 whenever I arrive. The party gets lighter, flow with the master rhymer. As I leave behind a video rapper, you know the chart climber, tapper. Down goes another rapper, on to another matter. Punch up the data, blast master. Knowledge reigns supreme over nearly everybody. Call a KRS and guaranteed to rip a party. Black top braids, foreheads are not to dread. There once was a story about a man named Jed. But now Jed is dead, all his kids instead wanna kick rhymes up the top of their head. Word, we'll go around, come around, I figure. Now we got white kids calling themselves niggas. The tables turn as the crosses burn. Remember you must learn about the styles I'm flipping, how wild I get. I go on like a space age rocket ship. You could be a Mac, a pimp, hustler, a player, but make sure live you is a dope rhyme sayer. MCs act like they don't know. Grand Wizard Theodore getting ill. If you see, then you saw. I mean, you grew with mad skill. MCs can only battle with rhymes that got punchlines. Let's battle and see who headlines. Instead of flow for flow, let's go show for show. Toe for toe, yo, you better act like you know. Too many MCs take that word MC lightly. They They can't move a crowd, not even slightly. It might be the fact that they express whackness. Let me show you whose ass is the blackest. I flip a strip a little bit, you about to dip in shit. Too sick to get with it and make you pick your solid counterfeit. Now tone it down a bit. My title, you will never get, I'm too intelligent. I send your family my sentiments. My style is toxic. When I rock it, shock it, hip hop it, unlock your head, I knock it. It's split quick from the lyric. Direct hit, perfect fit, you can't get with it.
Back with Off the Bean Path here on 101.9 CITR. So one of the things I think for me, I listen to Kwame Ture and I just think so clear, particularly when I find to, we think that kind of this idea of this kind of global empathy is new or novel. And it's not. That speech that you were listening to was from 1981, almost 50 years, almost, what was that? Yeah, almost 50 years ago. You know, kind of thinking about how people who have been not only fighting for their own struggle for liberation in America, fighting against the fascists in their own country, but also making sure that their fight is global, because there's an understanding that imperialism anywhere is a threat to us all, right? So I think that for me, that's one of the things that always, whenever for myself, I always, whenever I feel like I want to get small, you know, I want to get small and I want to start thinking small, you have to remember that there's so much room in your body, in your soul, for empathy on a global scale. So like, that's, you know, when you're thinking about the kind of the people that you pass on the street, you know, you're thinking about the people maybe in your family, people all over the world. Listen, there's enough, you got enough, you know, you have enough to be passionate and care about all of the suffering. So, you know, so don't limit yourself. But that's one thing that I always take away from that. Not only is it clear, but it's, if you listen to and you do read enough, you just understand that all these things are connected. All these imperialism and what it looks like and what people are searching for, a home and identity kind of looks like, is all really connected. Like, I believe that to be true, and I implore anybody who's listening to this to kind of go look into it more. Go look into figures like Kwame Ture, and just kind of let it take you down your own rabbit hole. You know, like, go let it take you to find someone somewhere that you've never heard of that has committed their life to doing great things, and you know, you'll be shocked and inspired, because there's people all over the time. Like, every time I think about for me, even just think about not coming to the radio. Like, it's like, I really like doing this. I really like talking to people. I really like showing people some new things and talking about new things. A lot of times I like talking about jokes, but today it didn't really feel very, funny. Because it just feels as if it's all kind of piling on. And I'll get to kind of like what I think here locally we could do kind of at the end, but I just feel like Nothing about the world feels funny, but like, there's still some funny shit going on. And we'll get to it. So don't worry. I got you. But one of those things is that, last year, what I did it kind of very quietly, you know, kind of just kind of with the people around me, is that I, fasted for Ramadan, and I'm not Muslim, but I felt like for me, it was very a personal, sacrifice, that the small thing I could do I could make so that I could, you know, like, in solidarity with people who are suffering in Palestine. And so I was unsure. I was unsure about whether I was going to do it again this year, because last year it was like, it really made me think about, one, about just kind of like motives and kind of like, you know, is it doing anything? Is that, you know, am I talking about it enough? Am I, you know, just kind of like all of these reasons why I felt like, is it doing anything? And this week I had some friends reach out to me and ask me, was I going to fast this year for Ramadan for Palestine again? And ask me, well, obviously when my friends ask me, am I going to do it? Then I got to say, yeah. And they said, well, I would love to join you in that. And so for me, that was just very special and touching, just a very small, you know, something that I really kept to myself and really kept to kind of the people closest to me. Just to know that, like, yeah, okay, I got two people, you know, and if you think about it, you know, for me, like, just getting two people is, for me, what else can you ask for? You know what I mean? Like that, like it is always just kind of this, you know, what can you do? What, you know, and just kind of shows that even the small sacrifices you make can lead to other people making sacrifices and bringing this thing up in their life. And so we're going to read a book. We haven't decided what book we're going to read during the 30 days of Ramadan, but yeah, we're going to read a book and we're going to talk, you know, and it's like a point of conversation and, you know, kind of spread awareness. Because if you don't know, like, while you maybe you listen to the news sometimes and you kind of understand, or you're hearing, and you hear, like, you know, maybe the assaults on Gaza have lessened. But I just learned today that there've been 40,000 people, displaced in the West Bank in the last few days, as Israel has invaded and occupied more a village in Jenin, which is like a territory, a village in the West Bank. And so what you know is that, like, it is an endless project. Like, imperialism is an endless project. Capitalism is an endless project. Like, these things, there's no end date. Even if you see kind of what's going on, you know, kind of in the United States, you see that there's no end date. Like, the United States has run out of places to they've run out of West, you know, they've run out of places to colonize. And, like, that's what Donald Trump says when he says going to make it a 51st state. That is colonization, you know. And, like, we just kind of don't really have a frame of reference for what colonization means when it comes to, you know, white people colonizing other white people. That's not like something that we even really think about, but that's what it is. I'm going to come take your shit and you're going to send me the money. You know what I mean? Like that's it. It's like, yeah, you can stay, you can keep control, you know, like that. But like, we're going to come get you. And so I think that it's important not to just kind of focus on, you know, what's going on down south, because I feel like for me, I'm not even Canadian yet, and I just feel like, okay, well, I just need to focus my energy here. Because, like, there was a Canadian, the Liberal candidates had a Liberal leadership, had a debate today, and I really want to make sure that, I think it's important that people make sure that they are not just kind of thinking of the worst things that could happen in their, you know, in the national politic, you know, international politic, but also think about what's going on here in the local politic, because what they're trying to do is they need to replace Justin Trudeau. And so it was Christina Freeland, Mark Carney, Karina Gould, and Frank Bayless all had seats in this debate today. And so, you know, they talked about Canada-U.S. relations. They talked about Donald Trump. They talked about economic challenges in Canada. Talk about commitment to NATO. They talked about the Conservative Party here in Canada. That if you haven't really noticed those, I mean you couldn't not notice Pierre Poilievre's horrible ad at, like, just the wrong time during the Four Nations game last Thursday. And they talked about all these things, like sovereignty concerns and leadership qualities and kind of who's going to be the best to lead Canada as they kind of move forward. And I think that it's interesting, just kind of like, this is not something that I feel like I have ever even had a conversation about as I lived in Canada. I don't really hear Canadians really talking about it too much. It's not like the theater like it happens in the United States. So yeah, I think that it's important that people get back into, you know, get back into what's going on here. So I think that there is, you know, if you listen and you are much, listen, I could tell you all of the talking points that I've read on the internet, but like, if you're steeped in Canadian politics, I would love to hear, you know, somebody else's perspective, and, you know, because I'm still learning, you know, as an American. I just really learned all the provinces a few years ago. So I'm just really first figuring it out. And I'm no expert, but I definitely think it's important. When I get back, I can tell you the thing that's got me fucking wound up. And the local issue that I promise you, I will continue to press, because I feel that it is an infringement on our rights and somebody needs to do something about it. When we come back from this musical break.
Genie X double six. Nilikukosea, naomba unisamehe. Shajionea kwamba sina lolote, bila wewe siwezi endelea. Naomba tuendelee. Yalikuwa matamu mapenzi yetu, yalikuwa sopa. Exidu wageni ulioisoma, kama ndo cha moto nimekiona. Aku siwezi kujifanya niko sawa, kumbe inachoma, inaumiza. Nimeshindwa kukaza mweza kona, taka turudiane. Mwezi unataka turudiane, mweza kona, taka turudiane. Mwezi unataka turudiane. Wansani
nishakuwa single masiku, basi nielewe kiduchu, tumalize ili bifu. Nimeshindwa kumuvuoni, nimeshindwa kumuvuoni, hata siwezi kumuvuoni. Wanawezaje kumuvuoni? Wageni ulioisoma, kama ndo cha moto nimekiona. Aku siwezi kujifanya niko sawa, kumbe inachoma, inaumiza. Nimeshindwa kukaza mweza kona, taka turudiane. Mwezi unataka turudiane, mweza kona, taka turudiane. Mwezi unataka turudiane. Asante.
You're back on Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, if you'd like to tune in, you can listen to 101.9. Listen to CITR.ca. Listen, if you're here, you're still here, I got some good news for you. So, good news. If you are a Killer Whale fan and you are You know, just kind of interested in what's going on in the Southern Resident Pod population, you'll know that they have a new calf and it is a female. So that's good news because, listen, we need all the whales we can get. Listen, when the United States starts to kind of try to storm the Pacific coast, we're going to need to strap some type of, you know what I'm saying, some shit to them so we can, you know, they can fight on our team. Because I never seen a killer whale in U.S. waters, only in Canada. So we get all the eagles and the whales, listen, and they could do something because I'm sure 100% they want an EPA. You know, they want an environmental protection agency, and only one country in North America has got that. Well, two, Mexico and Canada. The U.S. does not have that. But anyways, this, the researchers were able to confirm that a new baby whale, they call it J35 or Talaque. So it's pretty nice. One thing I learned about whales, at the now non-existent whale museum in Telegraph Cove, is that whales, basically, you know, as we kind of have poisoned the oceans, whales store a lot of, they store a lot of the toxins in their fat. And so as the calf grows and the calf eats food and kind of grows into an adult whale, what happens is the toxins continue to build up. And that's why oftentimes a female whale's first born is born dead, because they are able to kind of transfer all the toxins in their body into that whale, and then that whale dies, and then they can have healthy babies afterwards, healthy calves afterwards. This is why some female whales live all the way up to 90 years, I think like 80, 90 years. However, male whales do not have that same ability to pass through toxins to their offspring. And so male whales live to be about 40. So I've always thought that was really, really kind of interesting and sad, is that there are no like grandpa whales out there. You know what I mean? There's no elder male whales. And so like when we talk about whale pods being matriarchal and, you know, just kind of like we've developed this idea and understanding of what kind of whale life looks like and how their pods are shaped, it's largely due to environmental reasons and how we have basically killed off the elder male whale. And we have no idea what their like kind of whale societies would look like without that. So, I mean, I said it was good news and then I just kind of laid you, just kind of smoked you on the back end, but sorry about that. I thought it was really interesting, is that, on Thursday I was watching the Four Nations game, and obviously rooting for Canada with my Canadian, and, it really felt like Canada really needed that one, you know? Like, I felt like we really needed that one. And I say we, I mean, listen, Canada really needed it. It was, I feel like it's getting a little tense, like, in a way that, I feel as if, you ever met somebody who pokes you and like kind of tickles you and you're just like, you're not playing around, but them, they are playing. And like, also you can't really get them to stop, and like telling them to stop doesn't make them stop. They're just like a bully. And I feel like that's kind of where we're at right now, where it's like, I don't know if they're playing or not, but like we want them to stop. And I felt like, you know, Canada just really needed that win so that it was like one of those like, hey, get off me. And like one of the things we noticed is just that like the Canadian players are so much smaller than the American players. Please go look at the roster. You just go look and it's just like, it's kind of like, it was very stark when I was watching on the ice. I'm like, those American players are just pushing the Canadian players around. Like, they're just bullying them. But they can't win. Not allowed. And they didn't. But it was getting pretty tense out there. It's getting pretty tense. And it's getting pretty tense in here. One of the things that is getting tense is turning people to multi-level marketing schemes. So, like, there's a story in the CBC News that says it's legal, but is it lucrative, inside the risky world of multi-level marketing? And, like, I feel like that headline is so misleading because we know anybody who's ever met anyone or lost a friend to a multi-level marketing scheme knows that that shit is, one, not funny, and two, they know it's not profitable. Like, that's the problem with multi-level marketing is that, like, honestly, I have had a few friends who have got caught up in kind of multi-level marketing. And when I say caught up, I mean, I have some friends who, you know, obviously have done it and failed. But I also have some friends, I'm going to say not some friends. I had one friend who did it and was at least successful for a little bit. And when I mean successful, like, he was paid to speak around, kind of paid to speak around, you know, go around the country and gives and paid to, like, be the person who, like, converted people. And this person is and probably will be, because I don't know if I'll ever get that close to someone who lies that much, but, like, probably one of the most pathological liars I've ever met in my life. And that's what it took for him to be successful. And so, like, this article says, is it lucrative inside the risky world? No, you'll lose your money and it's just a bunch of scammers. Like, I don't know. Yeah, like, I always remember that one. My favorite multi-level marketing scheme is the ones you get to see from afar. Like, mine was the one where people had, like, those rolly things and it said, you should be here. And it was, like, people on trips and stuff. And people were like, oh, man, like, you can multi-level, you know, it's not multi-level marketing. You can travel. You get free, you can get free trips. No. No, it's never. I don't even need to read the article. It's like, but people are out here just trying anything because fucking the life is hard, dog. Life is hard and people need to get by. Let's see what the big funny story, and then we can kind of end on a funny story. You know, I got a few here open. Let's see. I'm like looking at the stories that I had, but none of them are funny. You know, none of them are funny except for, like, I mean, like, I don't know if y'all ever seen that wide neck man who used to be, he went viral a few years ago. Like, I'm like, he was arrested on suspicions of pedophilia. Not funny. Not a joke. But there is a Colombian man who was reportedly arrested at the airport with a wig stuffed with about $10,000 of cocaine. And, like, while that's funny, I've watched enough Locked Up Abroad to know that anybody who's trafficking drugs through the airport is either too dumb to laugh at or too desperate to laugh at. And for him, he looks too dumb, but he also could be too desperate. And I don't like laughing at people in those situations because nobody who's puts $10,000 worth of cocaine in their wig is also going to sell said cocaine when they get to the other side. That's just not how it works. Like, I've watched enough TV to know that's just not how it works. Yeah, so I think that's where I'll end it. Listen, there's a funny video that was played in the HUD. So if you don't know what HUD is, it's the housing department. One of the blackest federal agencies in DC, and before Elon Musk and Donald Trump fired everybody, they played a video of Donald Trump sucking Elon Musk's toes, like, an obviously an AI video. And since they had let everybody go, they didn't know how to turn the videos off and instead had to unplug each and every TV. So I thought that was pretty funny. But also, it feels like we don't have very much shit to laugh at. But you know what? Listen, all in the time, in times like this, we always need to make sure that we keep it light and keep it tight. So we do this every Tuesday. Listen, if you want to also fast for Palestine or fast for Ramadan, you know, in solidarity with people in Palestine, I will also tell you what book we're going to read next Tuesday, and we can read it together. Listen, we do this every week. Thank you for being here, and talk to you soon.
Transactions, money, trench passions, heart in casket, frigid like baskets. I remember back then, I was you acting till you put the mask on, and it was like this, you know. This was cool. Songs are in.